From Naples, Italy, today is the second day of November. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. And wow, welcome to a brand new, shiny, sparkly week, right? We're running out of these. I mean, this never ends. But we're running out of them in this year. This very, very special 20th year where every day, like this is the 22nd of November that we have encountered in a row without missing. And so let's appreciate where we are. This is a fresh start. And we're just moving into this new month. A lot of transition in front of us as the year kind of speeds itself up. Well, we've got some time to kind of really, really approach things calmly and make a decision really clearly that we're going to finish strong and well, and that this is a brand new start no matter what, like what happened last month. We're in a brand new month, we're in a brand new week, and we get to move forward together another step. Started the book of Ezekiel yesterday. We will continue that forward today. This week we'll read from the Good News Translation. And today, Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 16 through 6, verse 14. After the 7 days had passed, the Lord spoke to me. "Mortal man," he said, "I am making you a lookout for the nation of Israel. You will pass on to them the warnings I give you. If I announce that someone evil is going to die, but you do not warn him to change his ways so that he can save his life, he will die, still a sinner, but I will hold you responsible for his death. If you do warn an evil man and he doesn't stop sinning, he will die, still a sinner, but your life will be spared. If someone truly good starts doing evil and I put him in a dangerous situation, he will die if you do not warn him. He will die because of his sins. I will not remember the good he did, and I will hold you responsible for his death. If you do warn a good man not to sin, and he listens to you and doesn't sin, he will stay alive, and your life will also be spared." I felt the powerful presence of the Lord and heard him say to me, "Get up and go out into the valley. I will talk to you there." So I went out into the valley, and there I saw the glory of the Lord, just as I had seen it beside the Kabar River. I fell face down on the ground, but God's Spirit entered me and raised me to my feet. The Lord said to me, "Go home and shut yourself up in the house. You will be tied with ropes, mortal man, and you will not be able to go out in public. I will paralyze your tongue so that you won't be able to warn these rebellious people. Then, when I speak to you again and give you back the power of speech, you will tell them what I, the Sovereign Lord, am saying. Some of them will listen, but some will ignore you, for they are a nation of rebels." God said, "Mortal man, get a brick, put it in front of you, and scratch lines on it to represent the city of Jerusalem. Then, to represent a siege, put trenches, earthworks, camps, and battering rams all around it. Take an iron pan and set it up like a wall between you and the city. Face the city. It is under siege, and you are the one besieging it. This will be a sign to the nation of Israel. And lie down on your left side, and I will place on you the guilt of the nation of Israel. For 390 days you will stay there and suffer because of their guilt. I have sentenced you to one day for each year their punishment will last. When you finish that, turn over on your right side and suffer for the guilt of Judah for 40 days, one day for each year of their punishment. Fix your eyes on the siege of Jerusalem. Shake your fist at the city and prophesy against it. I will tie you up so that you cannot turn from one side to the other until the siege is over. Now take some wheat, barley, beans, peas, millet, and spelt. Mix them all together and make bread. That is what you are to eat during the 390 days you are lying on your left side. You will be allowed 8 ounces of bread a day, and it will have to last until the next day. You will also have a limited amount of water to drink, 2 cups a day. You are to build a fire out of the dried human excrement. Bake bread on the fire and eat it where everyone can see you. The Lord said, "This represents the way the Israelites will have to eat food, which the law forbids when I scatter them to foreign countries." But I replied, "No, Sovereign Lord, I have never defiled myself. From childhood on, I have never eaten meat from any animal that died a natural death or was killed by wild animals. I have never eaten any food considered unclean." So God said, "Very well. I will let you use cow dung instead, and you can bake your bread on that." And he added, "Mortal man, I am going to cut off the supply of bread for Jerusalem. The people there will be distressed and anxious as they measure out the food they eat and the water they drink. They will run out of bread and water. They will be in despair and they will waste away because of their sins." The Lord said, "Mortal man, take a sharp sword and use it to shave off your beard and all your hair. Then weigh the hair on scales and divide it into 3 parts. Burn up 1/3 of it in the city when the siege is over. Take 1/3 and chop it up with your sword as you move around outside the city. Scatter the remaining 1/3 to the winds, and I will pursue it with my sword. Keep back a few hairs and wrap them in the hem of your clothes. Then take a few of them out again, throw them in the fire and let them burn up. From them, fire will spread to the whole nation of Israel." The Sovereign Lord said, "Look at Jerusalem. I put her at the center of the world with other countries all around her. But Jerusalem rebelled against my commands and showed that she was more wicked than the other nations, more disobedient than the countries around her. Jerusalem rejected my commands and refused to keep my laws. Now listen, Jerusalem, to what I, the Sovereign Lord, am saying. By not obeying my laws or keeping my commands, you have caused more trouble than the nations around you. You have followed the customs of other nations. And so I, the Sovereign Lord, am telling you that I am your enemy. I will pass judgment on you where all the nations can see it. Because of all the things you do that I hate, I will punish Jerusalem as I have never done before and will never do again. As a result, parents in Jerusalem will eat their children, and children will eat their parents. I will punish you and scatter in every direction any who are left alive. Therefore, as I am the living God, this is the word of the Sovereign Lord. Because you defiled my temple with all the evil, disgusting things you did, I will cut you down without mercy. 1/3 of your people will die from sickness and hunger in the city, A third will be cut down by swords outside the city. And I will scatter the last third to the winds and pursue them with a sword. You will feel all the force of my anger and rage until I am satisfied. When all this happens, you will be convinced that I, the Lord, have spoken to you because I am outraged at your unfaithfulness. Everyone from the nations around you who passes by will sneer at you and keep their distance. When I am angry and furious with you and punish you, all the nations around you will be terrified. They will look at you with disgust and make fun of you. I will cut off your supply of food and let you starve. You will feel the pains of hunger like sharp arrows sent to destroy you. I will send hunger and wild animals to kill your children, and will send sickness, violence, and war to kill you. I, the Lord, have spoken. The Lord spoke to me. Mortal man, he said, look toward the mountains of Israel and give them my message. Tell the mountains of Israel to hear the Sovereign Lord's word. To hear what I, the Sovereign Lord, am telling the mountains, the hills, the gorges, and the valleys. I will send a sword to destroy the places where people worship idols. The altars will be torn down, and the incense altars broken. All the people there will be killed in front of their idols. I will scatter the corpses of the people of Israel. I will scatter their bones all around the altars. All the cities of Israel will be destroyed, so that all their altars and their idols will be smashed to pieces. Their incense altars will be shattered, and everything they made will disappear. People will be killed everywhere, and those who survive will acknowledge that I am the Lord. I will let some escape the slaughter and be scattered among the nations, where they will live in exile. There they will remember me and know that I have punished them and disgraced them, because their faithless hearts deserted me and they preferred idols to me. And they will be disgusted with themselves because of the evil and degrading things they have done. They will know that I am the Lord, and that my warnings were not empty threats. The Sovereign Lord said, wring your hands, stamp your feet, cry in sorrow because of all the evil, disgusting things the Israelites have done. They are going to die in war, or of starvation or disease. Those far away will get sick and die. Those nearby will be killed in war. Those who survive will starve to death. They will feel all the force of my anger. Corpses will be scattered among the idols and around the altars, scattered on every high hill, on the top of every mountain, under every green tree, and every large oak, in every place where they burn sacrifices to their idols. Then everyone will know that I am the Lord. Yes, I will reach out and destroy their country. I will make it a wasteland from the southern desert to the city of Riblah in the north, not sparing any place where the Israelites live. Then everyone will know that I am the Lord. Hebrews 4. Now God has offered us the promise that we may receive that rest He spoke about. Let us take care then that none of you will be found to have failed to receive that promised rest. For we have heard the good news, just as they did. They heard the message, but it did them no good because when they heard it, they did not accept it with faith. We who believe then do receive that rest which God promised. It is just as he said. I was angry and made a solemn promise. They will never enter the land where I would have given them rest. He said this even though his work had been finished from the time he created the world. For somewhere in the scriptures, this is said about the seventh day. God rested on the seventh day from all his work. This same matter is spoken of again. They will never enter that land where I would have given them rest. Those who first heard the good news did not receive that rest because they did not believe. There are then others who are allowed to receive it. This is shown by the fact that God sets another day, which is called today. Many years later, he spoke of it through David in the scripture already quoted. If you hear God's voice today, do not be stubborn. If Joshua had given the people the rest that God had promised, God would not have spoken later about another day. As it is, however, there still remains for God's people a rest, like God's resting on the seventh day. For those who receive that rest which God promised will rest from their own work, just as God rested from his. Let us then do our best to receive that rest, so that no one of us will fail as they did because of their lack of faith. The Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It cuts all the way through to where soul and spirit meet, to where joints and marrow come together. It judges the desires and thoughts of the heart. There is nothing that can be hid from God. Everything in all creation is exposed and lies open before his eyes. And it is to him that we must all give an account of ourselves. Let us then hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we have a great high priest who has gone into the very presence of God, Jesus, the Son of God. Our high priest is not one who cannot feel sympathy for our weaknesses. On the contrary, we have a high priest who was tempted in every way that we are, but did not sin. Let us have confidence then and approach God's throne where there is grace. There we will receive mercy and find grace to help us just when we need it. Psalm 104, 24 through 35. Lord, you have made so many things. How wisely you made them all. The earth is filled with your creatures. There is the ocean, large and wide, where countless creatures live, large and small alike. The ships sail on it, and in it plays Leviathan, that sea monster which you made. All of them depend on you to give them food when they need it. You give it to them and they eat it. You provide food and they are satisfied. When you turn away, they are afraid. When you take away your breath, they die and go back to the dust from which they came. But when you give them breath, they are created. You give new life to the earth. May the glory of the Lord last forever. May the Lord be happy with what he has made. He looks at the earth and it trembles. He touches the mountains and they pour out smoke. I will sing to the Lord all my life. As long as I live, I will sing praises to my God. May he be pleased with my song, for my gladness comes from him. May sinners be destroyed from the earth. May the wicked be no more. Praise the Lord, my soul. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 26:27. People who set traps for others get caught themselves. People who start landslides get crushed. Father, we thank you for your word, the brand new week, the brand new month. We are deeply grateful, deeply hopeful. Our hope is in you. And with that, there is always hope, no matter what has befallen us. And a lot has befallen us. We're in this world that is very broken and fractured. And we brush up against brokenness nearly every day, and sometimes it breaks us. So our hope is in you. And as we move into and through this month, we ask what we always ask: would you lead us into all truth and help us open our eyes and see and open our ears and hear what you are saying to us, and not just see and hear, but do. Help us to engage in the difficult work of letting go of what needs to be let go of, and holding on to what needs to be held on to, that we might be transformed. We might walk the narrow path that leads to life. Holy Spirit, come. We love you. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Welcome back to another edition, installment, or episode of whatever this is with Brian and Jill. Italy edition. Welcome to Naples.
Yeah, you sound pretty chipper.
Napoli. Well, I mean, there's only so many more episodes of this to do before this season of whatever this is comes to a conclusion. So
I think that we have opposite feelings in this particular moment about that.
What do you mean?
I'm so tired. I'm not eating dinner tonight. That's a new level of fit. Oh no, I am eating dinner.
Okay.
I'm not going out.
Okay.
To eat dinner.
Okay. Well, we, you know, the travel has brought us to the final country.
Yes.
Like, we have followed the Book of Acts in a westwardly direction all the way to kind of where things culminate in Rome. And we'll be there tomorrow for a couple of days. And then that's the end of it, of this travel that we've been doing that has taken us thousands and thousands of miles.
Mm-hmm.
I think we counted 10 flights, and two boat rides, and I think we got a train ride tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
To kind of manage, and then, you know, so many miles traveling in a vehicle.
And then the trek home.
Yeah, so... all of these places are so different.
So different.
And the different cultures, they have their nuances and are so different. And so, here in Italy, we got here, you know, it was late. We got here late last night. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't have a chance to sit down and kind of debrief. So we got a couple of days to kind of work through. And we were on Malta, and that was yesterday. And we had...
That's so crazy.
We had spent a significant amount of time working around the places associated with the Apostle Paul in Malta. And we did talk about that. And then we just had kind of a day waiting. You know, it's not like there... It's not like there's a flight on the hour out of Malta going wherever it is we want to go. And so we had kind of most of the day. And we chose to, we started walking around, but there's just a crush of people. Like, that is maybe not a heavily, heavily, heavily populated island, but there's just a lot of people there, at least in some of the districts we were in.
Yeah, I mean, we know from some locals that it used to be a little bit more quiet.
Yeah.
Less populated.
Yeah.
But it's become a thing.
Yeah, and I see why.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's no question why. So, you know, we were in a crush of people, and we decided, like, we had been out walking the night before, and we saw this thing called Mysterium Day, which is the mysteries of the faith.
And we're so, like,
what is that? Like, that sounds awesome.
To.
And basically what it ended up being is two different locations. One, a monastery or convent for nuns, and another for a place called the Black Friars for men.
Mm-hmm.
And the convent had been cloistered and not open to the public at all for 400 years. And the location for the Black Friars had been cloistered and not open to the public for 300 years.
It's a long time.
I mean, yeah. And so both of these places had turned into museums. I guess one of the things that I'm learning across all the places, because we visited several different kind of monasteries along the way, is that that is not as popular of a lifestyle as it once was.
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of choices to be a monk seem to be on a decline. And so a lot of times, like while we were in Malta, we saw this one convent, huge, in the Mdina, like in the fortress city, that was huge, but had one elderly nun left.
Yeah.
And she wasn't leaving. Like, she was, they were like, you know, they're not forcing me yet. Like, she's going to die there. She gave her life to it. And, but then probably after that, maybe it does become a museum. I don't know exactly how those things work with the church, but we just decided, man, that sounds like a, you know, there were like gardens there, and it just sounded peaceful, and so we decided to go there.
Yeah. There were kitty cats for Ezekiel, and it just, it seemed like a good reprieve from the people, and the name was so down our lane.
Mm-hmm.
And it really just was a beautiful, simple, but beautiful little place to walk.
Yeah.
And reflect.
Yeah. And maybe even, like, go inside that lifestyle a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple.
Yeah. Humble.
Yeah, as far as, like, conveniences, very incredibly humble. As far as like natural beauty or sort of an order of life, very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And just to sort of see, like, wow, this is This has been going on here for 400 years. Like,
yeah, it's crazy.
And to just kind of get a peek on the inside, even right down to like, so 400 years, that means, you know, nuns who have literally given themselves to be married to Christ, the bride of Christ, to be mm-hmm. like completely dedicated to the service of Jesus and the worship of Jesus. And in like in every way possible to imagine giving your humanity and your human life into devotion of your spirituality. You know, 400 years, and none of those nuns lived 400 years, right? So
right.
So people die, and so even how do they work with that? And to even go into like burial chambers where,
mm-hmm.
you know, when one of them dies, how they would be laid out and sung over and honored.
Yeah.
And, I mean, on the one hand, sort of dark. I don't know. Dark isn't the right word. Morbid, but also beautiful.
I didn't find it morbid. I felt like it was very...
I think stark might be the word I'm looking
for. Stark. There you go.
Like a stark reality.
Yeah. But simple.
Of something that we would like to avoid, but...
So stripped back, so simple, and so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was just the right music playing.
Chants that they would sing. And
yeah. I did read something about these places where the nuns are buried go underneath the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And it was up to a certain time period that the government shut down anybody being buried underneath the ground. I forget the reason why. And this was so... Well, I'll use this word. They didn't use it. It was so offensive to the nuns because their devotion to God, they believed that part of the oath that they took extends beyond this life, including into the burial. Like it's strategic and specific to what they believe of you know, where their soul and their devotion goes to God.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that the government granted them to be the only ones this special permission to be buried after this point.
Wow. Yeah.
And so I was like, way to fight for what you believe in.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not fight, but, you know.
Yeah. And I remember... I can't remember where, but we, you know, that we've seen a lot of like great, like a lot of churches and a lot of burials and a lot of graveyards and a lot of, you know, a lot of stuff along the way here that are really ancient. And I remember walking over, like you walk into this one space church, I think it was, and you're walking over a grave that essentially says, you know, you're walking over me today. Just remember that tomorrow somebody will be walking over you.
Oh.
And the way that they, I guess the way that in ancient, in the belief system and in the things that were important to stay humble were to remember mortality.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of ignoring and suppressing mortality, it was a way of sort of staying present to the life you're living right now and the consequences and the impact of the life that you're living right now, so that you're kind of present to the impact you're having right now.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to sort of ignoring those things and doing so much damage along the way, just because of a self, you know, just really selfish way of living.
Mm-hmm.
So,
is that why you randomly said to me the other day, we're well over halfway through with our lives?
I don't know. I
was like, well, thank you, baby.
Well, I don't know. I guess, you know, that's definitely a part of some of the ancient mystical traditions and monastic traditions, and is even the Book of Ecclesiastes, very, very, very deeply brings out that kind of sentiment. It is that this is now, and this is what's happening, and like a Book of Ecclesiastes even goes so far as to say it's better to, you know, spend time in like a funeral than it is to spend time in a wedding. Just to keep focused on the present. And so I guess that's the kinds of things that we like to just completely avoid, but to see ancient traditions as much as we have, because we've been exposed to it way more than we normally are. In a convent or in a monastery, knowing that people like entered into that service of the Lord and died to the outside world and lived their entire lives in devotion, and then died within those walls and were buried within those walls and honored within those walls. And that was their, how they spent their humanity.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a difference, though, in being cognizant of what's to come and knowing, like, nobody's promised the next breath.
Right.
And living with one foot in the grave.
Mm-hmm. Totally. I agree with that.
I think that's just existing and not really living.
Yeah. So, just fascinating.
Yeah.
And then we went to the other place and kind of stepped into another huge, like, there's so many hugely ornate, massive churches on Malta that it's unbelievable, really.
But this particular church that you're referring to, you would never know it was there.
No, never know it was there.
It was just a big, tall, white, beautiful building that had a church within the monastery, and it was gorgeous,
yeah,
and huge,
yeah,
and ornate,
absolutely, with all kinds of side chapels and
treasury,
a treasury of just different
treasures.
There was one, like a communion chalice that had belonged to an Ottoman prince, I believe, a Muslim that converted and became a monk.
Oh, I missed that.
And, but this was like in 1500 something or whatever.
Mm.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
I don't really know what else to say about it other than fascinating, contemplative, quiet way to spend, kind of an afternoon.
Yeah, I think it was just what our souls needed. Like, yeah. we went out on the main road, and within a minute, I was like, I got to get away from all the people and the noise. And so we found just a quiet and good little coffee shop, sat, made a plan, executed the plan beautifully, and got what our souls needed.
Yeah.
Just quiet reflection and
And then we got to meet some friends.
Yeah.
Some old friends that we never met before. And that was... I mean, the day before, we had been in the Grotto of St. Paul and someone had left us a note who had been there a few days before and was listening and...
Yep, Mr. Luke and his
became
wife.
Became a part of the whatever this is tour. And and then Patrick and Maria, who, like we haven't had a whole lot of time for much of anything but focusing on what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
On this journey that, you know, has been really intense and really beautiful. But man, to meet friends that like started listening to the Daily Audio Bible when the Daily Audio Bible began.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're celebrating the 20th year and we've been doing that all year. So to be able to, you know, connect with people that were there,
mm-hmm.
Before there was a thing called social media, and when, you know, like when the iPod was first being released, and the idea of podcasting at all is a complex thing to do that's just showing up on the scene. And just talking to them, like remembering that it was all website based and how, you know,
mm-hmm.
you have to download things every day and transfer them onto your device and or whatever. And just remembering those days and saying, wow, these people, you know, have been friends at a distance, and them sharing some of their story, which is just like, you know, kind of takes your breath away to be a part of people's lives in that way.
Yeah. It's so humbling and so moving.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my favorite parts. It's just to be able to hear how people found the Bible and yeah.
Yeah. And then obviously remembering when Ezekiel was born and
mm-hmm.
like so many people do. And yeah, that was special. To spend just a little bit of time with them.
Yeah.
Before we needed to kind of gather our things and make our way to the airport. Which we did, obviously. And flew north, I guess, 500 and something miles to Naples. And then get some rest. Actually, I guess it was after midnight. You were like, I want some pizza. We found out that, oh, there's a kind of a, not the famous Naples pizza place, but a famous Naples pizza place right down the street. And so we walked down there along the coast and have some pizza, a belly full of pizza as we go to bed. Late.
Yeah, I'm kind of regretting that choice now. I'm like, it was not a good exchange. A ball of dough for some extra sleep. Mm-hmm. But it was good.
Yeah. Well, we got up today and just had a few things that were not specific, like, just to get acclimated to here. We're not specifically engineered to be biblical, but man, it kind of ended up being special, but also insightful.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to Sorrento, which is kind of like a peninsula.
Yeah.
Olives. Lemons.
Lemon trees for days. Oranges. Pomegranates.
And we got to visit a olive oil factory, or, you know, olive press. I'm not sure exactly what they're called, but... And then just kind of get a little bit of a tour, see how that's...
A tour and a tasting?
Yeah, and then come back and taste the different olive oils that are... Some of them infused.
I just want to say this here for the record.
Mm-hmm.
Orange olive oil.
Yeah, that was kind of surprising.
Will change your life.
It's just a subtle thing, but it was yummy.
I've never seen it anywhere before. And I would never try it, probably. I am so glad I did.
But the... You know, the extra virgin olive oil that's just made there. Man, when it's fresh.
It's so good.
And so we're like sampling all these things and kind of getting the rundown on it. And then we had the opportunity to learn how to actually make correctly. Right there.
Mm-hmm.
On the olive grounds. How to correctly make true Italian margherita pizza.
Margherita.
Understanding pizza. That is that margherita. I never knew exactly what a margherita. That's my favorite, but I didn't know where that what the name was about. Because I'm like, yeah, there's no like there's no margherita mix in this pizza.
No, you didn't. Did you really?
And so I never knew that it was like named, it kind of was developed and given to a queen, Queen Margaret.
Yep.
Or Margarita, or I think. So that was cool to learn, but how to actually do it. And we made pizza.
Let me just say, we kind of crushed making our pizza.
I mean,
it was really good.
We made pizza and it was like, okay, hold on. This is like the best pizza I've ever had.
Yeah.
And I'm not like kidding. Like it was so awesome. And it had 6 ingredients.
Yep.
Salt. Yeast.
But active, not powdered yeast.
Yeah, right.
Which I had never seen that before either. 00 flour.
No, it's 0 flour, not 00.
Oh, that's right. 0 flour. Water.
Water. Tomatoes. Crushed tomatoes. Like
fresh.
Not a bunch of, like, not anything extra. Like, just crushed tomatoes into.
Oh, yeah. No cans. No cans being opened here. A little bit of salt and the crushed tomatoes.
And some fresh mozzarella.
Fresh mozzarella. And fresh parmesan.
And some like basil.
Fresh basil.
That we just pulled right off the plant.
And then to finish it off, a swirl of extra virgin olive oil.
Yeah. Wow.
That's
man.
Where the magic happens.
And that has to happen after it's cooked.
Yep.
And all the steps, and in this wood-fired oven at 800 degrees.
4 minutes.
And out comes something, I don't know, holy. it was, and just, I mean, the view from there. We could see the ocean from there.
The view.
Sorrento is like a really, really beautiful place.
It was. And it was just a dream come true.
Yeah.
To be able to cook, make something homemade.
Yeah.
In Italy.
Yeah.
In this setting that is just picture perfect.
Yeah.
It's like everything you can imagine, the cliff with the white houses overlooking the ocean, beautiful, perfect day, sun is shining with the love of my life and our little love muffin.
Yeah.
And good pizza.
Yeah. I'm just sitting outside.
Yeah, it just made me miss the rest of the film.
It was really... It was really beautiful. I'm really grateful we got to do that. And, it was just really special. I'm glad we got to do it. We're here specifically for a place that we're going to see tomorrow. Even though we'll see around Naples, specifically biblical Puteoli is like why we're here. And that was the place that Paul eventually, after having gone through all he went through and ended up on Malta, sailed Puteoli, and that's where he got off the ship to go to Rome and wait his turn to be judged by the emperor. It's also where the Apostle Peter, you know, like that was the main dock, the main harbor. And so, you know, we've been chasing these stories from the east going westward as things spread out. And, that's not where these stories end, but that's where some of these journeys kind of make landfall and end up in Rome. And so, but being here and being where we are situated, we're very, very near Mount Vesuvius. So very, very near the infamous Pompeii. And so it was like, we gotta go to Pompeii. I've heard about Pompeii since I was in grade school. This, you know, volcano that covered this town. And some of the reliefs, like people that were sort of buried in it that have, you know, been preserved and all.
And yeah, so, I'm not sure people understand that. That's literally what you just said is literally the case.
We got to see some of that today, and that is a little morbid, I guess.
It is. It's disturbing.
At the same time, it's disturbing because they're preserved, and the looks on their faces as they died, are preserved, and the position of their body as they died, are preserved, and they're, you know, dying in a volcanic eruption, and
it was very reminiscent of the museums that we went to, the graves that we went to in Rwanda.
Yeah, in its way.
Yeah.
It was. So, you know, but then to go like, okay, let's orient ourselves and understand that we like are looking at people that were alive as the New Testament was being written.
That's crazy.
As the whole thing is, as this gospel that we now believe was in formation. And as the gospels, like as the whole story is just starting to congeal.
Yeah.
And as churches are like, as the first generation, the first churches are being planted. In the first century. So like, you know, this all happens within like 35 years, 40 years of Jesus.
And a town of about 50,000 people.
Yeah. And probably, you know, within like 10 years of give or take. Yeah. Of the Apostle Paul. maybe ending his journey. And kind of before the Apostle John has... I don't know, I'd have to like get this all square, but definitely first century Roman Empire. And first century Roman Empire is the environment in which Jesus came into earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so to see, you know, even those, as gruesome as some of that was, or disturbing, maybe not gruesome, it's like, wow, these people, this is like the only place that you can actually see maybe somebody from that time that's not a skeleton.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, that was something about that. But then Pompeii itself is very, very famous. But just to understand how that eruption happened, and it just rained down, you know, pulverized dust, pulverized mountain and ash that, you know, fell like snow, several feet per hour upon the city, and it just buried it.
Yeah.
It wasn't like lava flowed down and burned everything up, or wind came and blew everything down. It's like it just buried it. And that's what preserved it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it just slowly, over the course of like a day, got buried. And in the burial, everything was preserved exactly how it was. And so these archaeological excavations have unearthed a first century Roman city as it was. And I mean, I don't know how many Roman Empire cities we've been in on this trip. Like, we've been throughout Turkey, Greece, Malta, and Italy now, and
they definitely made their mark in the world.
So we've been all over the ancient Roman Empire, and including Israel, like the province of Syria back in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been all over those sites as well. And so we are very, very familiar with what a Roman era city looked like as archaeology. Never saw anything like this before.
No.
Because those ruins are archaeology. And some of them are fantastically impressive. But Pompeii, like, preserves what the interior of a house looked like, what the billboards looked like, what the graffiti looked like.
Who was running for mayor?
And what the streets actually look like. I mean, it's like we've walked many streets, but the ruins are like, you know, just a few feet high.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see, but you can't really tell how big something was. Whereas in Pompeii, it's like, okay, we're actually getting a scale for what it actually looked like. And, you know, so... like, we might walk through an agora in a city, like, this is the marketplace, and these were the markets. But in Pompeii, it was like, these are the markets, and this was a restaurant.
Right.
And this was a, you know, this is what a restaurant looked like, or this is what, you know, a certain kind of shop looked like, because that's all preserved. The writing on the wall, the, I don't know, you know, the counters.
Yeah. The little, the counters with the food, stone counters, but with perfect circle cutouts where they would have served the food and kept it warm underneath.
Right.
Heating the fire. I was like, how can I build one of these?
Yeah.
At home. It's so cool.
Yeah.
It reminded me of, we've been to a couple of ghost towns.
Mm-hmm.
out west in the U.S. Where people literally packed up and left overnight during what, the gold rush?
Or, yeah, some of those times, yeah.
And they left everything standing still. Like there's stuff in the store.
Right.
There's stuff in the saloon. It was kind of like that minus the stuff.
Yeah.
Like an ancient ruin ghost town. That could be the cutest little marketplace right now.
Yeah.
And it went on for miles, it seemed like.
Yeah. All over the place. Spread out. And so I went into that just thinking, we're so close. We have to see this. It's so famous. And walked out of there going, I have completely new perspective on every Roman era, first century archaeological ruin and site that I have ever been to. Now, I genuinely feel like I know what those cities looked like. And they're not as antiquated and underdeveloped as I thought. Like,
yeah,
like the Roman Empire was seriously progressive for the time,
right?
And not so different. Like, we're like very different in technology, very different in construction, but just the whole situation of markets and shopping and living and life and it's just all there. Like, walk into somebody's house and go, this is their dining room. And this is how it was decorated. And this is their bedroom. And this is how it was decorated.
Yeah.
It was, I don't know, it just brought a very, very new insight and sight.
For sure.
To me, imagining the cities like, you know, Corinth, what Corinth actually looked like, or Ephesus, what it actually was like, or any of the other places.
Yes. And not just that, but how communal these towns, these villages, these cities were. So when we come to Europe, a place like Italy, Greece, Malta, all of these places, the houses are so close together that sometimes it's like one huge block of building, and it's, you don't know where one begins and one where one ends sometimes. Even yesterday, on the way walking to one of the places, Ezekiel watched this man from upstairs, like an apartment complex. He had this pulley system where he had a basket on a pulley, and he lowered it down, and someone brought him food and groceries, put it in the basket, and he raised it up, and then they just stood there and talked outside of his window. And Ezekiel was like, that is so creative. And all I could think about was Miss Jessie Parker. God rest her soul.
Yeah.
Our neighbor who, when I asked her, I talk about this on DABC a couple times a year, probably. When I asked her, Miss Jessie, what is the one thing in your lifetime that you have seen that changed the world so significantly? And I was sure, I would have bet the farm that she was going to say the internet. And she said, oh, that's so easy, Jill. Privacy fences. And I was like, wait, what? And she said, when privacy fences went up, we started blocking each other out.
Yeah.
She said, before that, after supper, everyone would congregate on the porch for a glass of lemonade or tea. The privacy fences shut everyone out.
Yeah.
We stopped knowing each other.
Mm.
And I was like, that is fascinating, that this woman that has lived through major, major world events, recognized that privacy fences are what changed our culture. So I just couldn't help to think how communal, because these are so, there's no space in between.
Like, yeah,
you got people in your beeswax, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I can't think that I would like that very much, if I'm just being honest.
Yeah, I agree. But, still, absolutely fascinating to see such a well-developed and well-preserved scenario that very clearly, I think you feel the same, but it gave me such a picture of any of the places that we've been chasing down, because we've been trying really to see as many of the New Testament, the places named in the New Testament as we can.
Yeah.
And we have done a good job. We have done it.
Yeah. Towards the end of our visit today, there was a place that we went up the stairs and saw multiple levels. And that was fascinating, because all the way back to the olive oil that we started out today, we saw how they pressed the olive oil
right
a long time ago. Giant mortar and stone, and they had to hook up the donkey to it and lead the donkey to pull the stone to
I mean, I think what you're talking about was grain. Like, they were crushing the wheat into flour and making bread, and the ovens were there. And
well, I saw, if had I not saw that at the olive oil place, I wouldn't know that's what that was.
Yeah.
In the second, the 2- and 3-story building where the roof is off, but you can see into the market, like into what you're saying. So in one part of it, there's the grain, the stone oven, perfectly intact. And then about 1,000 feet away, there's donkey bones.
That's right. With the animals that actually ground the wheat into flour that was then kind of in an assembly line sort of way. Like a little small bread factory, basically.
For sure.
And and then
I wonder if it was as good as our pizza.
Probably not, but because that was so good. But to see this guy, you know, the animals that died there too, and here they are laying on their sides, and they were the work animals that ground, you know, that made the bread for the for the town, or at least one of, you know, one sector. I don't know. It was
very fascinating,
deeply fascinating. I think we just barely scratched the surface. It's huge. But I'm glad we did that. And I just had no expectation of it being biblical, but yet of any place we visited, it brought what these towns were like into clear perspective, and kind of what the values and climate and culture of first century Roman Empire was like. And so we did that, and then we came back here.
Yeah.
And sat down and done whatever this is. Well, that was what our last couple of days have looked like. Thank you for being together with us all along the way. We have a few more days to kind of bring this chapter in for a landing and begin integrating and incorporating all of this into the work we do around the global campfire and into our lives and into the future. And we certainly appreciate that. We're going to be spending some time around here tomorrow, and then taking a train up to Rome, where we will finish the journey.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all I got to say about that.
Yeah.
I think Forrest Gump said that.
Yep, I think you're right.
I think that's all I got to say about that.
Yep.
You have anything else to say about that?
No. But it was one of my favorite days.
Yeah, it was very special. I'll always remember.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm Brian.
Jill.
We love you. And we will be waiting for you here.
From Italy.
Tomorrow.
Kingdom Seeker Daniel and Dan Stavin, this is Nancy from Nebraska. And I just want to say how beautiful those words were that you read. KSD from Hands to Heaven, and she knows very well the comfort that you need, and it was just good hearing that you sounded better, and I just want you to know that we are grieving for you and your family, and for the loss that you do, and that we continue to pray that God just comfort you and give you peace in this time, and we know it's going to take we just know that the pain never goes away. We just learn how to deal with it. I too have lost a child, and even today, you know, she would be like 40, and I still just grieve at moments, but I've learned how to deal with that grief. And I know it's because God is with us always and just gives us that comfort and peace. And what a beautiful thought to just know that God is caring for them in heaven. I love you.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible. It is October 31st, and I'm calling in to ask for prayer for my son, Tristan, and his girlfriend, Hattie. He called last night. And they don't know the Lord yet, but they're on their way. I pray, I know that God is on the move to bring their eyes to Him. I just wanted to praise the Lord for that. How great is the Lord? How deserving of praise in the city of our God, which sits on His holy mountain. It is high and magnificent. The whole earth rejoices to see it. Mount Zion, the holy mountain, is the city of the great King. God Himself is in Jerusalem's towers, revealing Himself as its defender. And if the King Himself is the defender sitting in Jerusalem, I know He sees and hears our prayers all over the world because He's on His throne. I praise you, Lord. Hattie has been diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis in her knee, and on her behalf, I don't receive that. I receive it as a word spoken over her that we do not come in agreement with. So I rebuke the spirit that's afflicting her knee called rheumatoid arthritis, and I send it back to Jesus to have it go where He would have it go. I pray healing over her knee. I pray healing over their relationship. Lord, they don't know you yet, but I know and I praise you that you're using everything to bring them unto yourself. Hattie and Tristan for their salvation. But Hattie is talking suicide, and that is a spirit I rebuke in the name of Jesus. Thank you, family. Love you.
Hello, my DAB family. This is Jamie in New Jersey, standing on the Word of God. I humbly ask you to please pray with me. Dear Father in Heaven, as we look to be better, please fill our hearts with love, understanding, and patience towards all those around us. Help us to listen attentively, offer support when needed, and celebrate their success with genuine joy. Guide us to be a positive influence, to encourage them through tough times, and to always be there for them with a kind word and a helping hand. May our bond grow stronger each day with all those you place in our lives, reflecting your love and grace. Help us to grow your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for praying along with me, my brothers and sisters. I love each and every one of you. Have a good night.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible family. It's 5:40 in the morning. This is Brian from Huber Heights. I just wanted to give a little bit of an update and continue to ask for prayer for my son, Mitchell, who's presently in jail, charged with assault. I'm praying that since I've just moved him to his third apartment since July, and I'm praying that we don't lose his apartment, but if he is, if he needs to go back to Summit Mental Facility or to get some sort of help for his mental illness and addiction, I pray that through this trouble with the police that he is forced to get that help. I just pray God's will in this, that God would do whatever it takes to get my son Mitchell through this and to lead him away from substance abuse and mental illness, that God would heal him. But most of all, I pray for his salvation. He says he's saved, but I just don't see any evidence of it. I'm not God, so I can't judge, but just keep Mitchell in prayer and the judge and the jury and his counsel and me, that God will give all of us guidance to what would help Mitchell to recover from mental illness, to recover from drug addictions. Thank you very much. And I do ask all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. And I do pray for all of you. Thank you very much, and God bless. Brian from Huber Heights, Ohio.